Now, if you would turn again to Proverbs chapter 20, and we'll read that portion, the second half of the chapter, from verse 16 down to the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 20, and beginning to read at verse 16. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are off the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the grey head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Amen. This evening in our sermons in Proverbs, I want us to look at an issue which the Lord's servant Solomon brings before us by way of a question that he poses in the second half of that verse 24 of the chapter that we read together earlier on. Man's goings are off the Lord, he says in the first part of that verse, and then in the light of that fact, in the second half of the verse, comes the question, how can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are off the Lord, how can a man then understand his own way? The way that we take is one of the great themes of this book of Proverbs, which the Holy Spirit of God has left on record for us, as it is one of the great themes of the Word of God from beginning to end in general. And so, as I say, in our time together for this evening, it's something of this issue that the way that we take through this world and then on into eternity itself, it's something of that issue that I want us to take up and look at out of the Word of God to our souls. As far as the Lord's servant Solomon is concerned, of course, the way that we take is a truth that he has absolutely settled in his heart and in his soul. Says later on in the course of the book in a later chapter, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. Not only is that a biblical fact that our life and our breath is in the hand of the Lord, and it is the Lord alone who knows the way that we take, but it is a biblical fact also that it is God alone who can tell us the way that we must take, if ever we will go through this world aright and then be accepted into eternity and into his presence forever and ever. So he poses the question in the light of the fact, man's goings are off the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And as I say, it's that question, the issue that he raises in that question, the way that we take, that I want us to think about and earnestly consider to our hearts and our souls this evening. Now, there are various ways we could do this because, as we've seen, I'm sure, over the weeks and months of our recent sermons in the book of Proverbs, there are various ways that you can take up the various proverbs of the book as they come before us. Sometimes there is a particular proverb and it stands before us in its own right, as you might say, all the truth that stems out from it as it sits there absolutely mightily in its own right and power. Sometimes you come across a whole series of proverbial sayings within a chapter or a few verses as they come together and link up together and bring out certain things for our hearts and our minds. And we've had many of those, of course, as well in the course of the weeks. And sometimes as well, there is a particular proverb that can be used as a kind of magnet to draw in other parts of the Word of God, other great passages of the Word of God concerning the particular issue that is set out in the particular proverb. There are many cases like that as well. So you can look at some of the proverbs. They stand absolutely in their own right, in the starkness of their own ability. There are others that stand related together with those of like mind, as you would say. And there are those that draw in or can be used to draw in other great passages of the scripture to back home the particular issue or the particular truth of the particular proverb that comes before us. Now, in our time together this evening, it's that latter approach that we're going to take. It's that particular mode of application where we draw in various parts of the Word of God simply to draw out something of the truth of what is being said here. And very simply, what we're going to do is take up some of those places in the Word of God, out of the Gospel of John especially, where our Lord Jesus Christ himself sets before us vital things concerning the way that we take. He himself, of course, is the way. And that's what we're going to see in the passages that we're going to look at. They're familiar passages, no doubt, but it is a great issue and an issue that we have to settle in our hearts and in our souls. For the sake of division, then, we'll see how Christ is the only one through whom we commence to take this way in the first place. And then our Lord Jesus Christ is the one with whom we continue in the way all the days of our earthly life. And then finally, he is the one by whom we complete that way forever and forever more. When the Lord's servant Solomon poses the question, how can a man understand his own way? He's setting before us this issue, the issue of the way we take. And in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, then we see that he is the one through whom we commence to take the way, the right way. He is the one with whom we continue in that way all the days of our life. And he is the one by whom we complete that way forever and forever more. First of all, then, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one through whom we commence to take the way of salvation, the way everlasting. And if you would turn then to the Gospel of John, as I said, and to chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. And there are a couple of verses there, especially, that I want us to read together. John chapter 10, and in verse 7 down to verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door, says Christ. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you see what our Lord is clearly setting before us there, that indeed there is a way that we must take in order to come before God forever and evermore. And he is the way, the one through whom we commence to take that way to God. The figure is an easily understood figure. When our Lord Jesus Christ, so often in the way that he preached, set forth to men and women, easy figures to be understood. He was setting before them a figure easily to be understood. He has told them earlier on in that chapter, he is the rightful shepherd. Now he says he is the rightful door. And he's telling these men, these women that he was preaching to in that day, that they had to enter in by him into the way of salvation in order to take the way of salvation. Now you see something about a door, and it's very commonplace, no doubt, but it's something that we shouldn't miss. A door either gives us or can give us both an exit and an entrance. By a door, we go out from something. By a door, we come into something. And when our Lord uses that expression in the way that he does at that point, it's both of those things assuredly that he's setting before those people. You see, one of the things that they were doing was this. They were boasting that things were all right with them as they stood quite apart from him. They had Abraham as their father. Indeed, they were claiming they had God as their father. They were of the nation of Israel, and therefore they didn't need anything, seeing they had been born into all the privileges of the nation of Israel. They were great privileges that they had indeed, my friends. But our Lord, you see, is saying this in the imagery of the door, that if you're leaning only on those privileges, you better come out of leaning on those privileges. You better get into the way everlasting and come out to him and in through him into the way everlasting. You remember that Jerusalem, of course, the city of Jerusalem, had the wall round about it. There were many gates, many doors in the city. They would have understood quite well what it was that our Lord was saying. And if you can visualize the whole of the land of Israel with a great wall right round it, our Lord is saying, if you're dependent on those things which you have in accordance with your birthright or your upbringing or anything else, then you must come out of those things and you must come into what I am setting before you. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. One of the great drumbeats of the word of God in the gospel is this. It is our coming out and our entering in. We come out of darkness and unbelief and rebellion against God. We come into faith and acknowledgement that Christ has died on our behalf. We are transferred in those lovely words of the Apostle Paul out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door, then he is telling people, if they are dependent on something that they are now in, they better exit out of those things, because there is only one way to be in the way everlasting, and that is to enter that way through him and through him alone. See, it's another one of those exclusive expressions of the Lord. And we'll see another couple as we go along. I am the door, he says. He doesn't say I am a door. He doesn't say, I am one of many doors, that you can go into that door or this door or the next door and eventually you'll find your way to God. There's no such a word as that in the Word of God. And Christ constantly, in all the things that he says about himself, draws to himself the exclusive way to God in every image that he uses of himself. It's an exclusive image of himself. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Just as he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. And here he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now you see, that's simple. As it says in that proverbial saying, how can a man understand his own way? And the short answer to that is, he can't. Of course he can't. And assuredly, my friends, not one of us, by natural wit or ingenuity or anything else, can find the way to God. And there is but one way to find the way to God and enter into that way, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I'm saying that in all simplicity, not making any apologies for setting before you straightforward gospel facts, and this is Christ speaking. Can't you understand it? He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And by token of that, if any man or woman or young person doesn't enter in, then they shall not be saved, they shall be lost. Never ever read the gospel promises without reading alongside them the gospel implications. And when Christ in all his graciousness says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If a man or a woman or a young person doesn't enter in, then they are lost and they remain in their lost position. Now you see the figure. So simple, straightforward, easy to understand. What was it, 35, 40 minutes ago, each and every one of us was on the other side of those doors. Now we're on this side of those doors. How did we come to be on this side of those doors? We entered in through the door. And my friend, if a person hasn't come to God through Christ to come walking in the way that we ought to take, they are still on the outside of the door of Christ, still outside of Christ. The Lord's invitation still stands and still holds good. Another place it says, I have set before you an open door. And in the gospel, while it is still the day of grace, that open door still stands open for all who will enter in. And what we do, we attune our hearts and our minds by the grace of God to the Word of God. We take the way that he sets before us in the gospel. We believe our sinnership. Do you believe you're a sinner? Do you believe you're a sinner? It shouldn't be all that hard to recognize you're a sinner, my friends. Even the people of God, well, I suppose particularly the people of God, we recognize that we're sinners. Recognize you're a sinner that you come to Christ in the first place. Recognize that you're a sinner all the days of your life. And that entering in by the door begins with that recognition that a man, a woman, a young person is a sinner before the Lord our God. There is a way to God. There is a way that God says that we're taking. We can't understand our own way. Isn't there proof of that? All you need to do is look at your life. Nobody knows where they're going. Nobody knows how long they're going. Remember that word? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh yes, you say, I'm going my own way, perhaps. For how long? For how long? 1 step, 2 step, 10 yards, 100 yards, 10 miles, 20 days, 30 days, 10 years. Then comes the terminus. We can't understand the way that we take to bring us to God, but God in his grace grants us to know that way. And in the great gospel word, that way that we are to take commences through Jesus Christ the Lord. He says it. I don't say it. He says it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And when you take the word of God, and I know they're all familiar pictures to you, but all of those times when you get that presentation of the door that's to point us up to Christ, remember the great one? When God, in that great picture of what the end of this world is going to be like, when he destroys the world by fire, but first of all, to give us an indication of that, he destroyed it in a flood. And yet he saved out of that flood Noah and those that came into the ark. And they came into the ark by a door. Just one door. Weren't a whole lot of doors in the ark. There was one door. And as that door stood open and Noah and the family went in at the invitation of the Lord God Almighty, come thou into the ark. And when they went in, and God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door of the ark. I don't close the days of my life. I don't close the day of grace. Neither do you. Neither does anybody else. God closes the door on the day of grace. And unless we're found in Christ, having entered in through him, then when that day of grace ends, or the days of our life end, if we're not found in Christ, then we're out of Christ. And out of Christ forever. You remember another one of the great pictures, the one from Leviticus? You remember how that offerer came with the offering that God prescribed, how could he find acceptance with God? Well, he would find acceptance with God by bringing the offering to the door of the tabernacle. Again, one door. There weren't many ways into the tabernacle. There was one way into the tabernacle. And for a man, a person to come with the offering, they came to the door of the tabernacle and entered in. That's Christ, my friend. And one of those great parables that our Lord told, you remember, about the wedding feast. And the day when the wedding feast came and the bridegroom had returned and the guests went into the wedding feast, and there were those who weren't ready to go into the wedding feast. And says our Lord, very simply, the door was shut. You see, Christ is in earnest about your soul. And in straightforward, vivid terminology, he sets that forth. I am the door. All the doors that ever were, exclusive doors, one door into the ark, one door into the presence of God in the tabernacle, one door into eternal life, and that is Christ. And when the end of this life comes and Christ appears again, then if we haven't gone into the wedding feast with the bridegroom at his appearing, the door is shut, and we are either shut in with him, or shut out from him forever and evermore. Take that earnestly. How can a man understand his own way? It's self-evident. We can't. We can't understand our way, my friend, through this life, and certainly not into life eternal and forever and evermore. And you take that straightforward passage as the Savior stood that day in Israel. And when he stood in all the graciousness of the gospel that he had come to procure, knowing what was going to be entailed in him being the door through which we come into eternal life, he could still stand and declare quite freely and openly, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we commence in the way that we ought to take through Christ. No other way. There's no other way to come into the way that we ought to take. The way that we ought to take is the way of the Lord our God. But the way that we ought to take, being the way of the Lord our God, is set before us only in Christ. And it is only through Christ that we enter into the way that we ought to take. How do we continue in the way, once we have commenced the way through Christ? And of course, that is with Christ all the days of our life here below. If you want to turn back then a couple of chapters in John to John chapter 8 to verse 12, and another one of the Savior's great I am statements. Verse 12 of John chapter 8, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How do we go on in the way? How do we continue in the way once we have come through Christ into the way that we ought to take? Well, very simply, we continue in that way with our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he uses that expression of himself, assuredly, that is the way that we take with him all the days of our earthly life. You remember the setting of those famous words. Chapter 7, the end of chapter 7 has concluded one of the great feasts in the nation of Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we're told how everybody went to his own house. At the end of chapter 7, Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. Everybody went to their own home. Christ went up into the hills to spend that night in the hills, no doubt, alone with his Father in the Mount of Olives. And then early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came with him, and he sat down and taught them. It's at that point, of course, that the scribes and the Pharisees bring the woman taken in adultery, and they begin to entrap the Lord. We found this woman taken in adultery. What shall be done with this woman? And that's, of course, where it ends up, where our Lord tells that people that he will not condemn that woman. How that's been misconstrued. And you see, to understand that aright is this way. Those men were trying to entrap the Savior. If our Lord Jesus Christ has said, no, she should not be condemned for the sin of adultery, he was flying in the face of the law of Moses, which still held good at that point, the civil law, which said that she should have been stoned for the sin of adultery. If he had said, yes, stone her, then they could accuse him before the people that he was a lawbreaker and did not uphold the holy law of Moses. If on the other hand he said, yes, do stone her, then they would have accused him before Pontius Pilate, and they would have said to Pilate, here's one usurping the law of Rome, because the children of Israel had no right to pass the death sentence on anyone. And so you see, they thought they had the Lord. If he says the one thing, we'll condemn him before the people and say he is not upholding the law of Moses. If he says the other, then we'll condemn him before Pontius Pilate that he's trying to usurp the power and the authority of imperial Rome. What sayest thou? Should she be stoned or should she not be stoned? The ingenuity of the human heart to entrap Christ. And that's why Christ then says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Is he then passing over what the woman did? No, no. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you see, the refusal to pass is not the refusal to pass a moral judgment, but a civil judgment. And as far as the moral issue is concerned, that's dealt with when he says to the woman, now go and sin no more. Not only this sin of adultery, but indeed not any sin which is against a holy God. Now that's the setting. And then of course it says that those people are convicted and they begin to go out one by one, and on the back of that spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And you see, the first thing that Christ is in the gospel is this, my friend. He's a searching light. And he has thrown his searchlight into the consciences of those who falsely accused him that day. And when the Lord our God throws his searchlight into our conscience, that's the grace of God in the gospel. There's another interesting proverb in that chapter 20 of the book, and it's down there in verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Probably it means the conscience. And you see, the conscience can come like a candle searching out. And then the word of God above conscience even comes searching out. And Christ has searched out those people that day. This they said, tempting him, that they might accuse him. But then when he answers them in the way that they do, he does, then it says, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the least. Being convicted of their own conscience. And in that, Christ has shown himself to be a light shining into the dark recesses of those men's hearts and minds. The old hymn writer says, throw light into my darkened cells where passion reigns within. And Christ, when he speaks about himself as being the light of the world, he is to begin with in the issues of our soul's salvation. Assuredly, he is a searching light. Not only that, he's a saving. It would be an awful dismal thing if Christ was only a searching light, but he's a saving light. And of course, in all the word that he says at that point, he is a saving light indeed. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How can a man understand his own way? How can we know the way that we take? Well, the way into that life, to begin it, is by Christ, through Christ. The way that we continue in the life is with Christ. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. That's a blessed thing. Doesn't mean that we won't stumble or stray at times, but as long as we have Christ as the light of life before us, then indeed the promise holds good that he will keep us through all the issues of this life and bring us into glory at last. There's some lovely passages of scripture concerning Christ as he would come to be the light of men. And it's Matthew that speaks in the words of the prophet, you remember, Galilee of the Gentiles, behold, a light has arisen, and Christ has come to be the light of life. Lots of false lights. The old serpent, the devil himself, takes on the appearance as an angel of light. But when Christ says, I am the light, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, then indeed that is a valid word to our hearts and our souls. You see, my friends, if we commence with Christ, the way that that is proved in a sense is that we continue with Christ. And when we enter in through the door into the way everlasting, then the way that we show that we have entered in through the door everlasting is to continue with the same Christ through whom we have come into the way in the first place. And that holds good with everything. Later on in that chapter, there will be some who profess to believe in Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ says to them, well, if you are my disciples indeed, then you shall do my word. Same thing with the sheep that he's spoken about in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You see, there's evidence. And here, if we have come through Christ, through the one and only door onto the way that is shown is that we continue in the way in Christ. And of course, not for 1 minute can you take away the whole total setting of what took place at that time. Remember, it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Remember, I've told you often enough that at the Feast of Tabernacles, they performed certain things. And one of the things that they did perform was when they marched through the streets of the city at night, and they marched through the streets of the city with a great torch before them, torchlight processions. And that was as they were remembering how their fathers wandered in the wilderness, but how God guided them through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now says Christ, I am the light. I am the light of the world. That was an old light. That was an old means whereby the old people were guided through the wilderness until they came into the land of Canaan at last. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And as you read that lovely account about that pillar of fire and so on, that pillar of fire was with the people until they came right to the edge of the River Jordan. And this Christ, who is the light of the world for all who follow him, his people, indeed he will be that light to guide them in all the way that we ought to take until we are brought into heaven and into glory at last. So a great subject, my friend, indeed. Man's way is in the hands of the Lord. Man doesn't know nor understand the way that he ought to take. But in his grace, God tells us the way that we ought to take. Don't you go out of this building this night and say that you never heard the way that you ought to take to come through this life and into life eternal. It is Christ who is the way. It is Christ himself who says he is the way. The entrance into the way. The commencing in the way that we ought to take. And the continuation in that way is with Christ for as long as our life shall last. Be it long or be it short. That way is continued with our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us to understand the way that we take, the way that we must take all the days of our life. It is in Christ the Lord. He is the door. It is with Christ the Lord. He is the light. And he that followeth me, he says, shall not walk in darkness. And then he's the completion of the way. And as we said earlier on, already cited the word of Christ himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you get that especially in those lovely words of John chapter 14. And you remember how he speaks to the disciples on that occasion, to Thomas especially. Thomas saith unto him in verse 5 of John chapter 14, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's speaking there especially about our finally coming unto the Father at last. You remember how that chapter begins? It begins with those words of assurance from the Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Christ is speaking about heavenly things. And when he says to those disciples, don't let your heart be troubled, because in my Father's house are many mansions, their hearts were troubled. Because you see, they had gotten it into their head that when that old house, the temple in Jerusalem, was going to be cast down to the ground, as Christ said it was going to be cast down to the ground, they wouldn't have any place to meet with God. Because the temple in Israel was where the people met with God. And as Christ said, there won't be one stone left upon another in this house. They were troubled. And now he says, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, not the one in Jerusalem, which was a type and a shadow, but the one, my Father's house above. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How abysmal dear old Thomas was at that time. Surely he should have known that Christ was speaking about his Father's house above. And it's in the light of that then that our Lord makes his great I am statement. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Into the Father's house above, where there are the many mansions, he says, indeed, no man comes to that but by me. See, you can take each of those things individually or collectively. Our Lord says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the life. And each of those hold good in their own individual right. But they also hold good in the collective sense, because in that sense, what our Lord is saying is this. He's saying, I am the new or the true and living way. You see, they could come to God in that sense in that old house, but they had to come by way of the sacrifice that was made. And now Christ has come to make the sacrifice of himself. And by making the sacrifice of himself, he becomes the true and living way into the true and living presence of God in heaven above. That's what the Lord's Apostle Paul takes up in Hebrews chapter 10. You remember, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and so on. It's all a picture. Take all the pictures. God is condescending to us. We take children when they're young. We open up a picture book for them. And all that was set forth were all of the pictures that were to come in Christ. And the old temple was a picture of that Father's house above, and the way into the Father's house below by the high priest and the sacrifice was a picture of our great high priest and the sacrifice that he would make of himself to bring us into heaven and bring us into glory at last. He is the one. It is all Christ from beginning to end. And he is the one through whom we come to God right at the beginning. He is the one with whom we continue in the way everlasting. He is the one by whom we come into the Father's house at last. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember what we said about the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The other side of that. If anyone doesn't enter in, they shall not be saved. Now he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the other side of that is that any man who does come to the Father by him will indeed be brought to the Father forever and forevermore. Take the question to heart, my friend. It's a deep question, but in a sense, because God is a gracious God, it has a straightforward answer set before us throughout the Word of God from beginning to end. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How can we understand the way that we take in this life and into eternal life forever? We cannot, not by wit, not by reason, not by ingenuity, not by anything that comes out of our carnal makeup. We can only take that way as we take it commencement through Christ, continuation with Christ, consummation and completion by Christ, forever and forevermore. Do you hear his word? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by him, all who believe in him shall come on to the Father, shall complete the way that they have begun to take through him and continued with him and come to the Father forever and forevermore. Are those straightforward gospel terms, my friend? Surely they are. Surely they are. And may the Lord make them abundantly clear to each and every one of our hearts, either to rejoice in them or to enter into them for the first time this night. The gospel is the gospel of God's grace to bring us through life and into heaven and into glory at last. Don't we get so easily bogged down with the things of this world? Don't our hearts tremble with regards to the things of this world? Don't we get perplexed with of course we do. We are still in our mortal frames. But if we know assuredly that there is in heaven and glory a place for us with Christ forevermore, that can be a great balance for each and every one of us as we walk through this present world. The Lord knows the way that I take. To be able to say that and to know that we take the way that the Lord has told us to take in the gospel and to the praise of his name. May the Lord apply those things to our hearts this evening.